Poes, poa, poem, what's the word? Poesize? Really? Poemize, thank you. Poetize version of Hebrews or of that psalm. It is very close, and so we're trying to follow what the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit taught us in Ephesians and Colossians, to sing psalms as well as hymns and spiritual songs. Last week in our Bible study, we looked at Hebrews chapter 10, spent a few minutes in Hebrews 10, and we saw how the Lord Jesus Christ offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and the author of Hebrews labored on that point. It was one offering, it was once for all, it was forever. And in verse 18, Hebrews 10, 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. No more offering. Offering for sin is done. But in Hebrews 13, he says, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And so there are some sacrifices that God wants. In the next verse, Hebrews 13, verse 16, it ends with these words, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Well, we know from Hebrews 10 that the sacrifices that God is pleased with are not, it is not the re-sacrifice of Christ again. That is done. It is based on that sacrifice, but that sacrifice is done once for all. Also, the sacrifice that God wants here that he's pleased with, these are not sacrifices for sin. These are sacrifices that God desires and delights in his people making to please him, out of joyful service for him. So, we're coming back to Hebrews 13, and we spent a little bit of time thinking about this verse, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And the illustration that we used last week was this. Your lips are like, your mouth is like a garden, and it's bringing forth fruit. And the question that we should be asking ourselves is, what kind of fruit is coming out of my lips? What kind of fruit is coming out of my lips? Because whatever kind of fruit comes out of your lips, that shows what is in your heart. The root is down your heart, and the fruit is on your lips. And the fruit that God wants to come out of our lips is the sacrifice of praise. And if we're not sure what that means, he tells us what that is right here in this verse, Hebrews 13, verse 15. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So the sacrifice of praise is our lips giving thanks to God. And so we're going to spend a little bit more time thinking about the sacrifice of praise tonight. And if we have time, we will begin looking at some scriptures concerning the second sacrifice that God desires of his people and delights in his people to give to him. Father, we thank you for the opportunity again to open the Word of God, to spend some time in praise, and to spend some time in prayer, and now to spend some time in study of the Word of God. I pray you open our eyes and teach us truth from the Word of God. Show us Jesus. Show us how to live in a way that is pleasing to you by Jesus Christ. And we pray in his holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this is the sacrifice of praise. What does it mean? What does the sacrifice of praise mean? We saw a picture, a very good example of worship in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Now, does anyone remember what the differences are in the worship that they gave to God in Revelation 4 from the worship they gave God in Revelation chapter 5? There's two main aspects of God's characteristics or his work that the people and the angels and the elders and all the living creatures in heaven offer God. And the first aspect of God's character or his work in Revelation 4 is that God is a creator. They praise God the creator. And let's just look at a couple of verses to refresh our memories on that. We want to learn how to offer the sacrifice of praise. We want to learn how to praise God in the way that he is pleased with. We're not concerned about what we feel like, what others feel like. We want to know what is pleasing to God, because that's what Revelation says. Or, excuse me, that's what Hebrews 13 says. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We want to please God with the offering of praise. Revelation 4, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. For Thy pleasure they are and were created. And let me just say in passing that the more you learn about God's creation, the more able you are to praise Him for His creation. When we've been reading a book called My Listening Ears, and I know I've mentioned this a few times already, but we are just enjoying that book so much. Every time, it's just a short chapter, every time, and every chapter is something about the human body in a way that us common people can understand. And so in one chapter, we learned about all the blood vessels in the liver. Just about a month ago, we read that chapter. And we learned about the brain, how the brain works. And we learned about these two little glands that sit on top of the kidneys and how those two little glands kind of pretty much control your body when they're working properly. And when they don't work properly, your body doesn't work properly. And when we read those stories, I find myself saying, what a wise God, what a mighty God who created everything to work properly.
Right.
And maybe you say, but what about sickness? What about disease? There's an entire industry of billions upon billions upon billions of dollars in this country alone taking care of people who are sick because their bodies don't work. Why is that? How can we still say that God is so wise and He deserves glory and honor and power for creating all things if people still get sick? And the simple answer to that is, and it's not a trite answer, it's the truth. There is sin in this world. Right. And sin has affected every part, every atom, every molecule that's in this on this planet. Sin has affected everything. There is nothing that will not disintegrate and go bad on this planet because of sin. But when God created it without sin, before Adam sinned, it was perfect. And we still see God's hand and God's wisdom, His fingerprints all over the creation. And so in Revelation 4, they praise God for His creation. And if we're going to praise God in a way that He accepts, in a way that He's pleased with, it ought to be something like what we see in Revelation chapter 4, that heavenly worship, worship that is praising God for His creative wisdom and power. Now, come to Revelation 5, and there's another aspect of praise that we should be offering God, even now. In this life, as believers in Jesus Christ, we should be praising God the way they do in heaven. Verse 12, Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Why are they praising God? What is the second reason that people and beasts and angels praise God in heaven? It is because the Lamb of God has been slain, and it says here, really interesting, verse 6, John said, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb as it had been slain. Animals that are slain, animals that are slaughtered, animals that are hunted and shot and killed, they don't stand up. Don't stand up. But here is a Lamb who was slain. He was slaughtered, as it will, if you will, but He is standing. What does that mean? It means He is risen from the dead.
Yes.
He was slain, but He is standing because He is risen from the dead. And in heaven, the song that is sung is the song of redemption.
Amen.
The song of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has conquered our sin and conquered death for us. And so, as we praise God, we ought to include these two aspects: praising Him for His creation, His wisdom in that, His power in that, and praising Him for His redemption of our souls by the Lamb of God and by His blood. Notice it says here in verse number 9, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood.
Amen.
By thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation and so on. By thy blood. If it weren't for the blood, where would we be?
Right.
That's right. Now, I know it might sound like just spouting off words, but it's true. If it weren't for the blood, where would I be? Right. I'd be burning in hell for eternity. That's more than just a rhyme. That's truth. We have to thank him for his blood every day.
Amen.
We have to thank him for saving us every day. I like what, probably 20 years ago, we got a prayer letter from Bob Ballou. And I don't remember anything he's ever written in a prayer letter except one line. 20 years ago or so, maybe more than 20 years ago, he said this. He said something like, I can't remember the exact quote, but he basically said, don't ever get over the wonder of salvation.
Amen.
Don't ever get over the wonder of salvation. There was an old song years ago. It's kind of they were trying to sound like country western music, but it had good lyrics that said, I may be getting over my youth, but I'll never be over the hill. I'll never get over the hill. I'll never get over the hill. I'll never get over Calvary.
Amen.
I'll never get over Calvary. I'll never get over the fact of the wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, shed his blood to rescue and redeem me.
Mm, good. Amen.
And so, Revelation 4, they praise God for his creation, his wisdom and power in creation, and they say to God that he is worthy to receive glory and honor and power because he's created all things. And then in Revelation 5, they're praising the Lamb for his redemption and for his blood. So, how should we offer the sacrifice of praise? How should we offer the sacrifice of praise? Sometimes it simply means being happy in the goodness of God and expressing thanks to him. Let's look again at Hebrews 13. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let's look at an example of this, giving thanks to his name. Luke 18, verse 43. Luke 18, verse 43. Good example of people giving thanks to God, being happy. I don't know who used to say this. There was a preacher I used to know, I think he used to say something like this. Enjoy the Lord. That was what he said. Enjoy the Lord. He always encouraged people to enjoy the Lord. Your walk with God is going to be a drag if you let it be a drag. It's going to be just the carrying out of duties if you don't look at God as your joy and your delight. Abraham called God my exceeding great reward. He didn't say God gives me exceeding great reward. He said that thou art my exceeding great reward. Abraham looked upon God as the treasure itself. Not what he could get from God as the treasure, but God himself was the treasure.
Amen.
Moses said in Exodus 33, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Show me now thy way that I may know thee. And he said to the Lord, if thou go not with us, then carry us not up hence. If you don't go with us, then I don't want to go. I don't want to just go to and accomplish the mission if you're not with me. Luke 18, verse 43. Come to verse 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. It was a blind man. And when he came near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. There's an example. There's an example of some people who saw something that Jesus did and they responded with joy. They responded with thanksgiving. Responded with glorifying God. Now, the typical response is for us to thank God in the good times only, and not to thank him in the bad times. And we know that's wrong. But sometimes I think maybe we overreact to that imbalance, and we become imbalanced ourselves. And so we think that, okay, if we're not supposed to praise God only in the good times, then I'm going to focus on when the good times come, I'm going to be careful that I don't have overjoy in the good things. I don't know if you ever think like that, but I have felt like that. I'm not sure that I've actually used that terminology, but I have felt that way. And the truth is, it's okay to let joy pour out of you when God has done something good for you, when God has answered a prayer for you, when God has done something that is beyond your expectation. That's something to be joyful about. That's something to thank God for. And the word rejoice in the Bible, Paul tells us in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That word rejoice is a little stronger than have joy. Because to rejoice implies to express your joy. Not just, okay, I'm happy in Jesus. And I'm happy in myself, I'm happy. But to show it, like the preacher used to say, are you happy in Jesus? Tell your face. Yeah. Tell your face.
What's wrong?
What are you so mad about?
I'm not mad.
Tell your face.
Tell your face.
Giving praise and giving thanks to God, offering the sacrifice of praise, sometimes simply means when God does something good for you or for someone else and you see it, you just feel thankful about it. And you say something. You glorify God. You thank God for it. Sometimes giving praise to God means singing to him. Let's look at a few verses that show that. Psalm 7, which is what we sang from tonight. Psalm 7, verse 17. Psalm 7, verse 17. And it's funny, as we were singing this tonight, I realized that the last several verses of Psalm 7 are talking about the wicked, but in verse 17, the psalmist, David, says, I will praise the Lord. As if, I think, to say, these wicked men, they do all these wicked things, they're travailing with iniquity, they're conceiving mischief. They've brought forth falsehood. They've made a pit and digged it. He's full of mischief and violence. But I will praise the Lord. In spite of all that, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Notice the connection between singing and praise. Singing and praise. I will praise the Lord. And then he says, I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Here's another example, Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Now, not everyone expresses thanksgiving to God in exactly the same way. We understand that. Sometimes we express, A.W. Tozer, I think it was, that said that when he was a young man and just recently saved, he was still working in a factory. And he said, sometimes as I was standing at the workbench, whatever the tools he was using, he said, sometimes the tears would run down my cheeks, tears of worship. He wasn't singing to the top of his lungs in the tool shop, but he was expressing his praise to God with his tears. And sometimes that's the way to do it. And yet, in the Bible, the common expression of praise is in singing. Psalm 104, verse 33 is another good example of that. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing what?
Praise.
I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Did you happen to notice over there in Revelation 5, verse 9, what it is that they sing? What it's called? What their song is called? It's called a new song. A new song. Another psalm says that I will sing a new song. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Sing a new song. Why would we be challenged to sing a new song? Why do they sing a new song in heaven? Is there an old song? There is an old song. I'm looking forward to visiting Texas in about a month, and I'm looking forward to making at least one stop to Cracker Barrel. And I've joked with my wife that I like going to Cracker Barrel because that's when I can listen to country music in the bathroom. I'm joking. My flesh still likes country music, but I remember a lot of the country music from 20 years ago, and I still remember some of the lyrics. This is dumb. Most of it is just dumb. Most of it is just nonsense. And it's about losing this, or losing that, or losing this relationship, or losing this thing. And it's just singing songs to a heavy heart. What Proverbs calls singing songs to a heavy heart. That's an old song. This is, I will sing praise. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And another psalm says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, ye upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. And they offer the sacrifice of praise. One way to do it, and a common way in Scripture to do that, is to sing to him. Sometimes we sing to him directly. Sometimes we sing about him. But the point is that we sing with joy and thanksgiving to praise him. Psalm 135. Let's see another example. Psalm 135, verse 3. Psalm 135, verse 3. Yes, this is the part of my Bible that you saw this morning. It's falling out. Here it is. Psalm 135, verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. You know what's not pleasant? Something that's very easy for me to do. Grumble. Complain. Murmur. It's very easy to do. It's very, very easy. It's very natural to do. It's not spiritual. It's not godly. God sent fiery serpents among the Israelites for murmuring and complaining. That ought to tell us something about what God thinks about murmuring, complaining, grumbling. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. To whom is it pleasant? It's pleasant to those who hear it, especially godly people. God's people love to hear God's people praise God.
Amen.
And if you don't want to hear someone praise God, something is wrong with you.
Right.
Late 2022, when we were up in California for David's surgery, Brother Wong asked me, he can't see well at night, so he asked me, would you drive us over to Concord, which is about an hour's drive away across the Oakland Bridge. Would you drive us? There's a meeting up there. There's an evangelist preaching in a young church up there. And so we drove out there and we enjoyed the service. And the evangelist has a very unique ministry. He ministers the gospel outside of abortion clinics. And he sings with his family outside of abortion clinics. And he sings And he had his copy with him. Was a kind of a leather bound, looked like, or black vinyl bound floppy. He'd been using it. His Psalter, which is what we're singing from. Actually, same book. And he was the one that told me about the book that we've been singing from, the Book of Psalms, for worship. But he said, we found out that a lot of the people going into the abortion clinics, they have a church background. And they, if we sing traditional hymns, they know those. And they often will sing them back to us in mockery. Hmm. But when we sing the Psalms, many of them are set to the tunes of traditional hymns. But when we sing the Psalms, they don't know the words. And they don't know what to do. Now, when God's people hear that, we praise God. When we drive, when I drive by South Baritania here and see that Planned Parenthood building, that grieves my heart, breaks my heart to know what goes on in that building. But I rejoice when I see people standing there holding signs saying, pray and abortion. They might not even be born again people. That's sad. But I am thankful that someone is taking a stand for what's right.
Right.
Man. And when I see that, I want to honk my horn and say, yeah, but I don't want to. You don't. Who knows what honking a horn means anymore? So I just wave at them, smile, or I want to give them a thumbs up. Because when we see someone doing what's right, it makes us rejoice.
Right.
The righteous shall see it and be glad. Right? And when we sing praise to God, and when we praise the Lord and sing praises to his name, it is pleasant to God's people because we've experienced the same thing. And we are experiencing the same God. But it's not pleasant only to God's people. I think it's safe to say it's pleasant to God. Because in Hebrews 13, he said, let's look at it again, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. He said, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. It is pleasant. It is pleasant. So how should we offer the sacrifice of praise? Sometimes it just means saying, praise the Lord. Sometimes it means being happy in God. Sometimes it means thanking him. Sometimes, often, it means singing to him. When should we offer the sacrifice of praise? Well, Psalm 34, verse 1, I think, answers that question. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's a pretty clear answer. When should we offer the sacrifice of praise? At all times. When you've got a tummy ache that came on suddenly because you ate too much roasted corn? Yes. Praise the Lord. When it's raining so hard you can't see to drive the speed you normally would drive and you're late for church? Praise God anyway. I miss Brother Leo, and I miss how he used to say, God is good. All the time, God is good.
Yeah.
I miss that. Someone else needs to take up that mantle and replace him. fill those shoes. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. Years ago, we had a cassette tape. That tells you it was years ago. Of a pastor in North Carolina. And he had, the sermon title was, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Let that sink in. What to do when you don't know what to do. Well, here's something to do when you don't know what to do. Praise God.
Amen.
Easier said than done. But it's the example and pattern of Scripture. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's when we should offer praise. How about who should we offer this sacrifice with? Do we offer this sacrifice on our own, by ourselves? Well, sometimes, for sure. But we're still in Psalm 34, right? Let's look at verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Oh, so that's individual, right? Individually, by yourself, offering thanks to God in your heart. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, so what we do with our heart should have an effect on someone else. Now, verse 3. David has said, I will bless the Lord at all times in verse 1. In verse 2, he said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. In verse 3, he decides or he expresses that I can't keep this praise in God to myself. I want to get someone else involved. And so he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You know that when you praise God, especially in song, it encourages other Christians.
Amen.
It encourages other saints. Many times, I have dragged myself into a church meeting not wanting to be there. Not because I didn't want to hear the word of God, not because I didn't want to hear anyone. I just didn't want to be in church. I wanted to be Sunday morning. I wanted to be in bed. Or I want to be somewhere else doing something else. But when we sang the praises of our God, it just kind of recalibrated my thinking and recalibrated my mood. And mood is a real thing, isn't it? It's a real thing. The way you feel often affects what you do. So be careful, little heart, how you feel. And one way to help keep your heart right is to sing praise with other Christians.
That's good.
It helps us. And it helps them. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name together. This is a side note. It's not really part of my notes here that I'm intended to say this, but I think a lot about how church is carried out, and I think a lot about how modern American churches are doing things, both in their preaching, so-called preaching, and in what they call worship. Now, we know that worship is bigger than just the song service. It's a mistake to think that worship is just the time of the service when we sing together. They say so-and-so is going to be teaching the Bible and so-and-so, recording artist, is going to be leading worship. Well, technically, whoever is preaching the word is leading worship. I'm leading worship right now.
Right.
There's nothing musical about what I'm doing, but I'm leading worship because I'm trying to help you to understand and grasp a little bit more of God, so you appreciate him and ascribe worth to him and worship him. That's what preaching is. One pastor calls preaching expository exaltation, which is exalting in God, rejoicing in God through the exposition of God's word. Modern Christianity tends to think about worship this way. How does it make the people feel?
Right.
Not what does God want? What does God desire? What does God require? There's a really interesting book that's been very helpful to me, The Five Love Languages. And the whole idea of the book is that most people feel loved when it is expressed to them in one of these five different ways. It might be words of affirmation. It might be physical touch. It might be acts of service and a couple of others. And it's been interesting for me and Kristen to look at our children and think about what are their love languages. And I can't prove it scripturally, although I think there might be a scriptural example, that when people are spoken to in a love language that's not their love language, they don't feel loved. They might be immensely, intensely loved by someone else. But when that someone else shows them love in a way that they don't get, it goes right over their head. So some wives would love for their husbands to wash the dishes every afternoon. And some wives want to be told how much they're loved. Maybe it's a good idea to ask, what is God's love language? We are so busy thinking about what is our love language. What makes me feel like I am having a worship experience? That's revealed in the question, by the way, that I never heard overseas, but I've heard it in American conversation on a Sunday after church. And here's the question. How was church today? What question? The exact words. What did you get out of it today? I understand. It could mean, what did you learn from the sermon? I'm showing interest in what did you learn from the sermon today? But do you see how that, what that could mean? Mm-hmm. What did you get out of it? And let me be careful how I say this, and please be careful how you take it. We don't attend church to get something out of it. Now, we should come expecting to be fed the Word of God. But if you come with the intention of only being fed, getting something, rather than coming with an attitude that says, I want to give, I want to participate, I want to contribute, it's a good word, I want to contribute to the service. Not just for the benefit of others, but I want to give something to God. And I'm not talking about what you put in the offering plate. I'm talking about the worship that you bring with you. When I was filling in for a pastor at, when was that? 16 years ago? 16 years ago? There was some talk about the atmosphere of our church is not what it should be. Well, of course, you know what the preacher thinks of that. It's my fault. So I talked to the pastor that I was filling in for, and I asked him, what do I do about this? He says, you know what? You cannot create an atmosphere. The people bring the atmosphere with them. It's when God's people all together are worshiping and praising God together. Whether we're worshiping God through praising Him with our voices, or we're singing, or we're praying together, or we're giving our offerings together, or we are fellowshipping, or we are intently listening to the Word of God expounded. All of that is what we give in worship to God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. So, when should we offer the sacrifice of praise? At all times, continually. With whom? With God's people. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. Wow, what a chapter Hebrews 2 is. Hebrews 2 talks about the role of the Lord Jesus Christ in saving us, how Christ is our high priest. And it leads into chapter 3, talking about how Christ is superior to Moses. And in Hebrews chapter 2, he quotes from Psalm 22. And so the author of Hebrews says that what Psalm 22 was, the words of Psalm 22 were the words of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 2 verse 11, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he," Christ, "he is not ashamed to call them brethren." That means is, he that sanctifieth, he who makes others holy. And they who are sanctified, those who are made holy, are all of one. For which cause he, Christ, the one who makes holy, is not ashamed to call them, the ones who are sanctified, made holy, brethren. Let's bring this down, as J. Vernon McGee used to say, on the lower shelf. Let's put the cookies in the low shelf where the kids can get it. Christ makes us holy, and he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. Saying, verse 12, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren." In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. The author of Hebrews says that this is what Jesus Christ says about us. He will sing in the midst of the church. Did he not say, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst"? Could that be a reference to this? Could this, these two tie together? That when we sing, when we meet together in his name, that he is with us by the Holy Spirit, and that when we sing to God in praise, that he sings with us? Could that be what this means? I think that this is referring to after he rose from the dead. It's very possible that when he appeared to the apostles, to the apostles in the upper room, that he sang with them after his resurrection. He sang praise to the Father with them. But is it possible? I'm not saying it is. I'm not making this a statement of fact. I'm just thinking out loud and asking you to think with me. Is it possible that when we sing together in the name of the Lord, to the praise of the Lord, that he joins in with us? Whether that's the case or not, I don't know. But he gives us the example of with whom we ought to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Look, in the midst of the church, in the midst of the church, when we gather together as a church, we ought to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How could you possibly have a church service without singing? A missionary friend of mine a few years back said, "Christians sing. Christians sing." That's what we do. We sing. A Christian without a song is suspect. Either he's really professing to be saved and he's not, or he's got some unconfessed sin that is stopping the song. Because the fruit of your lips shows what the root is in your heart. And if everything is clean between you and God in your heart, there's going to be a song coming out of your lips. The sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Now, why is it called a sacrifice? Why does Hebrews 13 call praise a sacrifice? A little while ago, I said to you that it is very easy to grumble and complain. Is that true for you, or is that just me? Yeah, I see. I see the expressions, which means this rings true. It's not just me. And it's not just you. It's everyone. Every one of us. It is so easy to complain and grumble and gripe and look for the negative and harp on it and accentuate the negative. I believe it's called the sacrifice of praise because, quite simply, it isn't always easy to thank God. It isn't always easy to praise Him. But we should anyway. We should anyway. In the Old Testament, God required every Israelite male of a certain age and up 3 times a year to make it a pilgrimage from wherever they lived in the land that God gave them in Israel to come to Jerusalem 3 times a year to observe a feast 3 times a year, to praise God, to offer sacrifices to God 3 times a year. Was that convenient for them? No. Now, nowadays, if you're living in Israel and you had a car that works, I suppose it would be pretty easy to go from any point in Israel back to Jerusalem. But on foot, not easy. But God required it of them. It was a sacrifice that they had to make. And God says here in Hebrews 13 that we are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. It is a sacrifice because it isn't always easy. It's a sacrifice because even when it's not easy, He requires of us to offer that praise continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. When the individual you voted for didn't make it in, give thanks. When the school board makes a foolish decision, give thanks. When they don't repave the road that you have to drive over every day, give thanks. When the potholes are so big, you might end up in China if you go for that pothole. Give thanks. When the sermon runs too long, give that. When the food that is put on your table, after you've been working hard all day long, you're expecting something else, and it's not what you want, and it's got an ingredient that you don't like, when it's got raw celery in it, give thanks. When it's got too much cilantro, give thanks. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When I said earlier, how should we offer the sacrifice of praise? I answered that by saying, simply be happy in the goodness of God, singing to Him. But when I said how, what I meant was in what way. I want to ask again as we close, how should we offer the sacrifice of praise? Or more correctly, how shall we? How is it possible to offer praise and thanksgiving to God continually in good times and bad times? How is it possible? The answer is found right here in Hebrews 13 and in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So since you're still there, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, let's think about that there first and then finish up by coming back to Hebrews 13. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That gives us a hint as to how we can do that. We do not rely on our fortitude. We don't rely on our ability to just be a stoic and say, I'm going to praise God anyway. No, we rely on Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. By him. Those two words at the beginning of Hebrews 13, 15 are immensely important. If we try to offer the sacrifice of praise to God by being a Christian stoic, I'm dying, but I'm going to give praise to God anyway. That's not going to be pleasant praise. And you're going to fail. But if you are what Hebrews 12 instructs us to do, looking unto Jesus, if you're doing what Hebrews 12 verse 3 says, considering him, then you will be able, and I will be able, to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. When Paul and Silas were in prison in Acts 16 and they sang praises to God, do you think that was easy for them? Oh, they were spiritual. Oh, they were preachers. Oh, Paul was an apostle. No. I believe it was a sacrifice for them. But what was the result of that? Did God reward that sacrifice? Was God pleased with that sacrifice? It says at midnight they prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them, and the doors were loosed, their bands came off, and there was a great earthquake, and the jailkeeper assumed that they all fled, and Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And that got a hold of the jailer's attention. And that night, not only did the jailer believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but his family did too. And they followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And that was the early part of the church at Philippi, along with Lydia and her household. God rewarded Paul and Silas for offering the sacrifice of praise. When it wasn't easy, they were sitting there in that cell at night. Their backs had been whipped. They had stripes in their back. It says that the jailer took them and washed their stripes. That means he probably took a sponge and some nice warm water and just sponge bathed their backs. They offered the sacrifice of praise, and God heard it. God was pleased, and God rewarded it. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. How might God use the fruit of your lips to bring honor to his name? How would God feel? If when you are in the middle of a situation that you have no control over, and things are going completely opposite the way you had planned, and you still thank God anyway, by him, by Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, how do you think God feels about that? Is it pleasant to him? Is he well pleased with that? He is. He delights in that. He'd much rather have that than all kinds of anything else you could do for him. Good song. I won't sing it, but I'll quote it for you. I will praise him in the good times. I'll praise him in the bad. I will praise him when I'm happy. I'll praise him when I'm sad. I will praise him for the blood that he shed on Calvary. I will praise his name forever. God has been so good to me.
Amen.
With such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God that teaches us what to do and how to do it and why to do that and in whom and by whom we do that. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is by him that we offer the sacrifice of praise. Help us continually to have your praise, your thanksgiving on our lips for your pleasure. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We pray, thanking you for hearing us, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.